Now here's music. And you can hear it too.
Hey.
Recorded live on DementiaRadio.org, it's the Funny Music Podcast. Brought to you by TheFump.com, where you can download new free comedy songs twice a week. Now, here's your hosts, Devo Spice and the great Luke Ski.
Hey, Devo Spice.
Hey, Luke Ski.
We've got Ookla the Mock in the house, Adam.
What's up?
And we have Steve Goody.
Hi.
Hello, and welcome to episode 91 of the Funny Music Podcast for March 8th, 2012, which is like 3 days from now, because we're recording this on Monday, March 5th, because this weekend is MarsCon, and we're going to be busy Thursday night.
Yep.
So,
By the time this airs Thursday night, I'll already be there, so... So
by the time this airs Thursday night, I'm going to be frantically running around my house going, oh my God, what did I forget, you know?
That's what I'm doing now. So
I'll be watching cartoons.
Lucky.
Yeah.
And Adam will be drawing cartoons, maybe.
Yeah. Wishing I were at MarsCon.
So, Diva, what have you been up to in the past week?
Well, this weekend, my wife decided that the bedroom had to be painted. Oh, my God, now! You know, so I had to drop everything, and we went out and bought paint and, you know, painted the ceilings, painted the walls, two coats, and, you know. It actually looks really, really nice, so I'm happy we did it, but I really could have used the time to be preparing for MarsCon because I have things to do. So I've been trying to get ready for MarsCon. I still have a buttload of stuff to do, including, you know, rehearsing, because we're doing the, you know, stuff and performing, which requires knowing things. So I need to do that. I've been trying to finish up the Fump Volume 31. I say trying because I've had nothing but trouble with the videos. It's been, you know, a cavalcade of errors with the video. I'm putting together a highlights reel of the Logan Awards, and it's just been one thing going wrong after another with the video. And I finally, just this evening, got it to a point where I have all the footage in formats that I can use, imported into Final Cut Express, and it looks like I'm going to be able to edit it together tonight after the show, so I can get the CD out hopefully tomorrow. But this morning, my laptop died. So, it was in the middle of converting the video files, and then it crashed, and then I rebooted it, and it wouldn't boot up, and after debugging, and my wife spent hours on it today trying to fix it while I was at work, and came to the conclusion that the hard drive is toast, so I'm going to have to replace that. So
maybe it needs a fresh coat of paint.
Yeah. Thankfully, there's nothing on it that I can't live without. I've been backing up all the important stuff to my other computer, which gets backed up to the internet every night. And there's a, you know, other than the video files that were on there that I had already converted, I just reconverted those. Actually, Jen reconverted those, to be specific. So things have not been going smoothly here. So what have you been up to?
Well, on Saturday, I, along with Sarah, I completed the annual unavoidable ritual of fear and guilt, which is getting our taxes done.
Yay!
So, you know,
I understand the fear. What's the guilt?
How much money I cost Sarah because of what I do for a living.
No.
She'd be getting a much bigger refund if it weren't for me.
What are you talking about? You don't make any money. You know, that should
I think
help.
That's his point. I'm not really clear on these fiduciary things, but that's exactly the point.
It's deductible, so you should be.
Well, I deduct as much as I can, but it still seems to, you know, never really come out, you know, in. I mean, she's still getting a refund. It's just not as big as it would have been if it weren't for me. So anyway. And then today
you can start paying your taxes quarterly if you really feel bad about it.
Yeah. And then, today
that requires money.
That was Sarah.
Yes. So yeah. And then today I, woke up, early this morning to see that Earl delivered me, his draft of the opening ceremony sketch script. So I wrote, my parts for it, in my notebook, and then I had to, skedaddle over to K Carrie's place to help her and Moonbeam babysit Ferris so they could take care of newborn Alex, etc. I took him to, like, this place called Kids Town, which is, you know, kind of a, you know, toddler run around, climb on things, play with things kind of zone. So I took him there for a couple hours so that Moonbeam could have a nap and, you know, took him back over to the house and just generally helped them out a bit and then got back home. So I stayed there longer than I expected, but as soon as I got back, I took the stuff I had written earlier and then typed it up into Earl's script, incorporating my new bits into the script he wrote and you know, and ostensibly, you know, got the opening ceremony script finished. So that's good.
Who's Alex?
Hmm? What?
Back up. Who's Alex?
Alex is Carrie Dalby's son that was born a week ago on Leap Day, February 29th.
Oh, my God.
So, yes, big congrats goes out to her and Josh. Mm-hmm.
And he will turn one in 2016.
Yes. When I first met him in the hospital, I said that instead of Alex, he should be named Frederick after the character from Pirates and Penzance. So.
Oh, yeah.
Literary reference. Well, actually, wait, that's a theater reference.
Operatic reference.
Thank you. MarsCon baby, MarsCon baby, MarsCon baby. That's pretty much been my week. And taxes and MarsCon and baby. So, yeah. And if any of you are hearing a weird noise in the background, that's Sarah using her awesome Cricut machine to make decorations for MarsCon, and you're just going to have to live with it because we have to get this stuff done. So, anyway, let's move on to Adam.
What up? Yeah, also joining me this evening will be my buddy Lyle, who's standing in for Rand this evening.
Hello.
Hi, Lyle.
Is Lyle of Lyle fame.
Lyle of the Nerd Herd?
Of the Nerd Circus, yeah, you know
Lyle.
Nerd
Circus, yes, okay. He was the one dressed as Aquaman that one time, right?
Yes, that one
okay.
time.
Then I know exactly who you're talking about. Awesome. Hi, Lyle.
Yeah, well, that's right. I had forgotten. We took pictures of you dressed as SpongeBob SquarePants,
well,
right?
No, it wasn't me. It was somebody else. But
you were Duffman. That's right. You were wearing our Duffman costume.
Yeah.
And we took pictures of, you know, Aquaman and Duffman and SpongeBob SquarePants and Dora the Explorer naked.
But the hilarious thing about the SpongeBob photo was that... I mean, it was a whole kind of under-the-sea-looking SpongeBob environment. Right. So there's this one photo of SpongeBob and Aquaman holding hands, and Aquaman just looks all happy, like, yay! And the pose that SpongeBob has makes him look like he's so depressed because he's hanging out with Aquaman.
And I was like, now, SpongeBob, but you're sad. And he, like, looked down at the ground, and it's super funny. But, of course, the classic pictures we took at that... this was at the Erie County Fair where Luke was helping me out with a caricature operation, and there was across the way from us, there was like an antique photo set up, and it was get your picture taken with SpongeBob SquarePants, Dora the Explorer, Shrek, and Spider-Man. And but we took the last night of the fair, we were getting into the frozen margaritas, and we discovered that the Dora the Explorer costume... that the clothes that were on the Dora, you know, it's a guy dressed in a Dora the Explorer, so picture 7 foot tall Dora the Explorer. And then we figured out that the clothes she was wearing actually weren't part of the costume and they came off. And so the guy dressed as Dora the Explorer runs into the back and comes out a couple of seconds later as a 7 foot tall naked 6 year old. And it is the most disturbing thing you've ever seen in your entire life. And
yeah, I'm pretty sure that would be.
Yeah, we were taking a whole bunch of pictures of that. And then all of a sudden, one of the people that's with us turns around and says, oh, no, honey, no, no. And there's this poor little girl there that had seen Naked Dora the Explorer and starts crying and running away.
But the best part of the photo session with Dora was when you got the idea to go back into the room and then do the shots as if somebody had, like, burst in the room.
Like,
and
like I'm holding up my hand to, you know, like, no, no, don't take our picture. And Dora's, like, covering herself. It's really funny. Like, but I don't approve of such things. So.
Best blackmail pictures ever.
Yeah.
Along those kind of warped themes, give us a brief intro to your song this week, and then we'll play it.
Well, yeah, it's called Tantric Yoda, and wow, what more can we say? Hit it, you know?
All right, so you guys mute yourselves on your end. Here it is, Ookla the Mock with Tantric Yoda on the Funny Music Podcast.
Some berry white. Down low will I turn the lights, and lead they will a six-part saga to chronicle the love we make tonight. Force inside you, do me, there is no try. The force will make it grow, so judge me not by my size. Adventure, ha, excitement, ha, a Jedi craves not these things. What a Jedi craves is more depraved than Jabba's hot on Tatooine. In here it's getting hot, so I'll take all your clothes. Look this hot, you will not, if reach you 900 years old. Your backdoor man I want to be. That to me do one time more. On me some sugar pour. Up that thing back. Like a brick house are you stacked. On let us get it. It let us do. Avec moi couche voulez-vous. Sensitive people are we. To give we have so much. What about you I think. Myself I touch.
Okay. Oh yeah.
Awesome song. Very, very funny. Where did
a
you
guilty about it, but
yeah, where did this whole thing come from?
Well, you know, it's such an Ookla the Mock thing to do. We the night before our final mix, I called Rand up and I was just like, Rand, look on the right board. You know, we use a wiki space called Backpack to do our songwriting notes so we can put up notes for each other. And I said, you know, log on to the Backpack. And he's like, what? And I'm like, just do it. And so he logged on, and I had put up a track entitled Rand's Going to Kill Me. Rand's Going to Kill Me. And it was the, you know, a start at the lyrics for a song that had to go on. You know, our new album is called Nerdvana, and it's kind of a theme that's, you know, it's sort of like nerd meets, you know, Eastern mysticism kind of thing. And I came up with the idea for Tantric Yoda, and I came up with it the night before the album was supposed to be completely in the can. And I'm just like, you know, we got to do it. He's like, well, if you can, like, you know, make it happen, you know, enough that it would, you know, and but by the next day I had enough, you know, I had enough of it done that he agreed that we had to hold the album off for a couple of weeks to get this on it. And I've done that several other times. We did that the day, actually the day of the final mix for our album Super Secret. I showed up like in the studio and I was like, you're going to kill me, but check this out. And I picked up a guitar and played him the first half of a song called My Secret Origin that, just had to go on that record, you know? So, it was kind of a, you know, it was an idea that couldn't be denied. And it actually bumped our other Star Wars song off of this record. That was going to go on another record anyway. So our song The Other Side wound up not going on this EP as a result of having thought of this one at the very last minute.
Hmm. Which, and, well, it makes sense because that album's going to be like the villain's album. And
right.
About Darth Vader.
And God help us. We just this week made the decision that this, and this is another thing that keeps happening to us. That's actually going to be two albums.
What?
Yeah. You know, it's like this. When we put out our first record, I had, two songs at that point, or maybe three, about monkeys that were going to go on the album. And when it came time to choose the songs for the record, I said, you know, this song has a lot, this album, it was our album Less Than Art, has a lot of like themes in it already. Let's save the monkey theme because it doesn't really fit in with the other ones. And maybe our next album will have kind of, you know, a little bit of a monkey theme to it. Like, so it'll have some monkey songs on it. And so, and you know, it was either that or have like, you know, one or two monkey songs on every album that we put out. And so, when our next album came out, by that time we had like seven songs about monkeys, and we just realized, well, shit, that's too many monkey songs for one album, and we don't want to be that band that does songs about monkeys. So once again, we split them off, and by the time we, you know, eventually that turned into Smell No Evil, our 27 track rock opera about a space rocket test monkey and the boy who loves him. Well, here's what's happening this time. We were going to do a little suite of songs that were, they were just supposed to be short little songs, one song each for each of the villains in the Marvel Superheroes Secret Wars comic, which if anybody remember, if you remember what that is and have read it, you're a nerd.
Nerd here.
Yeah. So we had started writing all these, you know, supervillain songs, and we realized, gee, we've almost got a complete set of the supervillains from the Secret Wars. So we were just going to do like a little Secret Wars suite that was just going to be like, you know, 10, 12 minutes of short songs about superheroes or about supervillains from that. Well, what has happened is a couple of those songs have really become real songs. And they're like 4-minute pop songs. And we just realized, you know, we're going to have a 75 minutes, you know, album about superheroes if we put all of these on one. So we're actually splitting that off. The, you know, osmosis has occurred, and the Secret Wars thing is going to be its own album. So we're going to have, you know, a full length album about supervillains that does not include any of the supervillains from the Secret Wars, because that's going to be its own, you know, like 35-minute record.
What is that album going to be titled?
I don't know, man. Don't ask me. We were gonna call this whole mess "Bring On the Bad Guys," which is an allusion to a Marvel supervillain team up that happened one time. So maybe the supervillain thing will be called "Bring On the Bad Guys," and we might just call the other one "Evil Eye," which is one of the songs on the, like, "Evil Eye," like me. So that's what happened to that.
So What happened with the Filk documentary done by Jim Hanks?
Or
are you not allowed to talk about that on a show like
this? No, it's, I mean, it's supposedly still in the works, although I haven't heard anything in a little while. You know, the holdup with that was that they had really underestimated the time and expense of the editing process of the movie. They really felt that right from the beginning that they wanted to have a professional editor edit the film. And here's the thing: if you shoot a feature film, like a regular feature, that's fiction, you usually are asking an editor to edit 5 hours of footage down to an hour and a half using a script, which is a lot of work. They shot, I want to say it was like 700 hours of footage, and to ask an editor to turn that into a 2 hour film or whatever, they've got no script. So they have to like watch 700 hours of footage multiple times and edit that down into and I think that was the holdup. And I believe they still have intentions to do that. The last time I talked to Jim Hanks, his plan was what he wanted to do. He was working on a couple other deals to make films. And what he wanted to do was wrap the budget for editing this into the budget for another film where, you sell it as it's two for one. You're getting this documentary that can be marketed to cable and so forth. And, and from that perspective, if you're getting a $3 million budget for a small film, the, $30,000 that it'll cost to edit this a Filk documentary will not seem like a lot compared to that. Whereas if they have to pay that much out of their pockets, it's kind of prohibitive.
Yeah.
But I haven't talked to Jim or any of the Filkumentarians in a little while at this point. And we really need to talk to Jim because we wrote a song about him. And we want, we don't want to release it without his blessing. So.
Yeah. I've seen you perform it, so.
Yeah.
I'm just curious how that all came to be. I don't know if you ever actually told me how that whole thing got started. Because I was at OVFF, one of the years they were there, and I think they filmed me performing Stealing Like a Hobbit at the Friday Night Gorilla Filk Circle.
Right. We became aware of it. We had nothing to do with the origins of that idea. When we went to a con one time, and I can never tell you what con it was because they're all in hotels that look identical from the inside to me. So, all cons seem the same once a couple of years have passed. But some Filk con we were at, somebody said, there's some people shooting a documentary at this con, and we had to sign releases or something like that, and asked if we'd be interested to be interviewed for it. And we kind of hit it off with these guys. This was right after our big Hollywood deal, and so they're from the West Coast, so we got talking to them about that, and we just kind of hit it off with them, and we wound up going out to eat at whatever restaurant was near, cross-country skis hanging on the wall kind of place was near the hotel. And we're sitting there at the dinner, and I said to Jim, I'm like, and at this point, his, identity was a huge secret. And I said to him, I'm like, has anybody ever told you you look just like Tom Hanks? And Rand said, hey, your name is Jim Hanks. And then we all sat there in uncomfortable silence for 40 seconds while it dawned on us that he was Tom Hanks's brother. And once that becomes clear to you, you just can't walk away from it. It's like, holy crap, how did I not see it? He shaves his head and has this long King Tut goatee kind of thing, but it doesn't help. I mean, he looks like what if Tom Hanks's brother had shaved his head and grown a King Tut beard,
It's like Tom Hanks on Saturday Night Live playing a character.
Exactly, exactly. And he actually, Scrubs, he plays the character of, there's Dr. Turner and Dr. Hooch. and he plays Dr. Turner. And the joke is he looks like Tom Hanks. You know?
Hooch is crazy.
Yeah, Hooch is crazy. You got to look out for Hooch.
Cool. So any, just because I'm always interested, any interesting, wacky tales of caricature gigs recently?
Well, not really, business is slow, as I'm sure you're aware.
Yeah, and this time of year, it's always slow.
Yeah, well, and I would say for the last couple of years, it's just been dreadful. Yeah. I'm I've got a day job working in collections in like an office, you know, part time just to make ends meet. And I was working in the office and, a lot at the old office that I used to do that at, whenever they had like an employee party or something like that, I'd whip out my easel and do caricatures. And there's one guy there that knows I do caricatures, and we were having a like an employee birthday party. So he says, oh, he's like, you should do some sketches. I didn't have my easel. I didn't have anything with me. I didn't have a marker or, you know, any kind of paper. I didn't have anything with me to do caricatures. And so he's like, you should see this dude draw, man. You know, he's like, you know, here, draw a picture of her. And I'm like, I really don't have anything with me. You know, like, let me do that sometime when I've got my, you know, gear with me. And he's like, no, dude, come here. So he like runs over and grabs, and I'm not exaggerating, he grabs a napkin and a pencil, a cell phone picture of his girlfriend not smiling, and like insists that I draw a picture. Oh, now, I've been at this, you know, I've been around the block a few times, and I know better than to do that. And I'm like, listen, you know, no. You know, like, let's, and he's like, oh, don't be modest, it'll be awesome. It doesn't have to be great, that's people just don't get, you know. So eventually I'm like, all right, you know, he like wouldn't leave me alone. Everybody's chiming in and wanted me. So I drew a sketch on a napkin with a pencil of a cell phone picture of this girl not smiling. And then he looks at it. He's like, oh, you know, he's like disappointed. Yeah. And I'm just like, what is it you were thinking I was going to do with a pencil on a party napkin? You know, people are just so stupid. And so now I have to like carry my easel in my car every single second in case somebody asks me to, you know, do that again.
Dance for the monkey.
Yes.
Devo, you're Cyloning.
God damn it. God damn it.
It happens so often that we have a term for it, Cyloning, so that he knows the two do whatever it is he does to make himself sound normal again.
Fighter at 3 o'clock. Engage.
So over the weekend, I had that same situation where a girl shows me a cell phone picture of her and another person, and she wants me to draw her with this other person in the cell phone. Like, even for a cell phone picture, it was incredibly small. And I'm like, I don't know that the girl in the back, I don't think I could draw her that well because it's very small and not really in focus. And she goes, girl. And then I realized it's her, like, her boyfriend. It's a guy. So that's how bad the picture was that she wanted me to use, is that I couldn't tell the gender. So then her and her friends, like, left. And then they came back later. Apparently they went up to the hotel room and got their iPad and brought it down. And, like, one of them whipped up a photo of her boyfriend who wasn't there from Facebook and had it on her iPad. I'm like, all right, I'll draw that. So then the next one after that, the girl goes to her Facebook, shows me this photo, and it's like, okay, we'll draw these two. And I look at it, and one is this other girl who isn't there, and the other one is the girl. And I'm like, oh, why don't you just sit down? I'll draw you live and then do the other one for the picture. She's like, no, I want you to draw me from this picture. And I'm why? Is it because your hair looks different? And she's like, no, I just, you know, it's late, I'm all tired, I don't look as good now as I do in this picture.
Yeah,
So much of that
is just taking charge of the situation and not giving them the option to tell you what it is they want. Just say, okay, sit there, you know, no, do it, you know. You remember Jeremy Stock from Darien Lake, the super amazing caricature artist? He did
the super detailed one of Spawn that one time, right? Am I thinking?
No. That's Rob Dumo.
Oh, okay.
He's like he's a professional comic book artist these days.
Yeah.
Jeremy Stock is the crazy redheaded one that has the really cartoony, really simple style.
Oh, okay.
And he once took a picture on his phone of a picture that someone wanted him to draw a caricature from, so that he could send it to his other friends that were caricature artists to show them how ridiculous it was. Because, I mean, the thing, it was like, it was a picture, like a photograph. And it was like the size of a postage stamp. And it had been in somebody's wallet and it was all mangled. And it was just, I mean, it was this little, like, it looked like a thumbprint. And, you know, and he just thought it was so funny that somebody would want him to. That was like the ultimate example of that somebody wants you to draw a picture. And they also, they don't understand, they have a photograph they like of two people. And so they want you to draw the two people from that photograph. Like I always say, you know, if you want me to draw a caricature of someone, give me at least three photographs of that person. And, you know, at least two of those should not be like, you know, posing for a photograph photographs. You know, people, they just don't. Of course they wouldn't understand, because most people's understanding of a portraiture of any kind is it comes from photographs. So they just think, you know, well, if you have a photograph of two people, you'll draw that photograph. And that's not, you know, you're drawing two faces and you lay them out on the page, you know, not necessarily the way they're laid out in the photograph.
Just make the funny picture happen.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't do that. I'm like, you know, I tell you, you don't tell me, you know. If you knew how to do it, you'd do it. You know, that's what I always tell people. But
one more thing, and then I'll get off the caricature thing. I have this little – I bought myself a handheld, like, notes recorder, because I'm always thinking of things while I'm driving, and I figured that was the safest way for me to just, like, hit a button and, you know, song idea, and then, you know.
Right.
So I have this on me most of the time. I did a gig the other night, and I just felt it was important to share this with the world so that they could realize what it is sometimes, the average level of ambient sound level and activity that is happening around me when I have to draw caricatures. So I'm going to hit play on this, so hopefully this will work and people will be able to hear it and understand what I'm talking about. So hopefully this is the right one. Oh, wait, maybe it isn't. I'll edit this out in post.
No, you won't.
Yeah, you're right, I won't. Let's see, this one? There it is.
Right now in the next room, the montage of the bar mitzvah boy is happening. Here's what's happening in this room.
So yeah, this is at a bar mitzvah when they're showing the touching montage of photos of him from his whole life as he, you know, is becoming a boy into a man, you know, when everyone's supposed to be quiet and reverent, and then this is what I'm next to as that's all happening. So yeah, it's
you know, dude, that sounds like my house every day.
Bar mitzvahs are the worst gig. You know, I think the problem is there's just so many Jews. I'm kidding.
Well, here's the thing. The girls who are at that party were nice and quiet and polite. It's the boys who go crazy. They're just nuts.
Well, and it definitely is interesting as a you know, non-member of that particular ethnic group, or really any ethnic group. I mean, if you do a Greek festival, it's the same thing. You're so immersed in people
Jews.
Of that culture, just being people of that culture, you know, and that it's, I mean, it's overwhelming. You begin to realize what it's like being a minority member in our culture, where it's just like, you know, you're surrounded by white people. It can't be any more fun than that, you know?
White people problems. So anyway, on that note, Ook of the Mock, Anything else you want to say? As well as
everyone's a little bit racist.
So okay, let's get to the promo and the news, and then we can get to interviewing Steve Goody. So. Adam, are you going to stick around for the rest of the show, or do you got to get going?
I'm actually going to sign off. Lyle has been waiting patiently here, and we've got a project we're about to begin here. But glad I could join you for the first part there, and I will check out Steve's half at another time.
Yeah, you better run because there's a Jew coming up.
Oh,
hey!
I wasn't gonna tell him. I was gonna wait until he hung up and then let him find out on the download.
Come on.
Actually, I'm only mad because I was gonna say the exact same thing and then he said it first.
Real quick. When we met Scott Gimple, who was the executive producer of the Disney show that we did, Rand and I had to have this routine, this bit, I guess, that we do occasionally where, you know, one of us will say, you know, did you know he was a Jew? And then the other one will say, well, I knew he was Jewish. And so I did that with Scott Gimple. I said, you know, he mentioned that he was Jewish. And I said, did you know he was a Jew? And Rand totally threw me under the bus. He was like, oh, my God, Adam.
Oh, man.
That's not cool, man. And he totally threw me right under the bus. It was...
Because there's no way to get out of it. Like, no, really. It's a bit we do.
And now I'm that racist guy. So, all right, guys, have a good time. Good night.
Take care.
Talk to you later.
Bye-bye.
Bye. All right.
Power salad. Love with a side of fries.
Classic rock cut-off date.
The new album.
You mean more to me than all the apps.
Power salad.
Santa's gonna work from home this Christmas.
His IT staff assures him that he can.
Including the internet hit, our old cartoon animals.
Corn, beef, and cabbage. Hot, hot in the pot. Hot, hot in the pot.
The fifth studio album from Power Salad.
A four-letter word, just like hate.
All a bra.
Power Salad, Love with a Side of Fries. Coming soon from Marianth Records. www.powersalad.com.
Time for funny music news. Something, something, something. And now, funny music Jews. I mean news.
In the news, don't worry, Steve, this will be quick. A-Log on the airwaves is having a Three Stooges song contest called the Sing a Song of Stooge. To enter, you must write a song or do a skit or something funny about the Stooges in some way, shape, or form, and it needs to be somewhat radio-friendly. A-Log, even though he's a podcast, he likes to keep his show fairly clean. The songs will be voted on by members of the madmusic.com community, so I guess you're going to post your songs over there and let people vote. The grand prize is the winner will go to their local theater to see the Three Stooges. I'm guessing he's going to pay for the tickets, but he doesn't say that explicitly, so it may just be, hey, go see the movie. I don't know. As well as the Stooges DVD and a free A-Log on the Airwaves t-shirt. Second prize is a DVD of the best of the Three Stooges plus a t-shirt, and third prize is a t-shirt in your size. So apparently the first and second prize are in somebody else's size. the three winners, as well as other runners-up, will have their track released on a compilation album to be released during the movie's release. All entries must be submitted before March 29th. The movie's coming out on April 14th, I believe. For more details, visit madmusic.com. He has posts.
Jewish.
Yes, they were. All six of them. They had he's got postings in the forums, and there's a news item right on the homepage. You can't miss it. All right, tour dates coming up the 9th, which is tomorrow from the day this will air. We have in Providence, Rhode Island, we have Jonathan Colton. This weekend, we have MarsCon. Do we need to run down the list again?
Not really.
On the 10th, we have Jonathan Colton in New York City and Mark Gunn in Midland, Texas. Then in Austin, Texas, on the 14th, we have MC Lars. Paul and Storm are going to be in Baltimore on the 16th. And also on the 16th, the Gothsicles are going to be in Mishawaka, Indiana. And the weekend of the 16th through the 18th, we have Tom Smith in Cincinnati, Ohio at Millennicon. And also on the 17th in Birmingham, Alabama is Mark Gunn. Visit the artists' respective websites for information on things. So, Steve.
Yes.
Welcome, my Jewish friend.
Why, thank you.
L'chaim.
And how.
So, give us a brief intro to this song that I haven't even heard yet.
Okay.
And then we will play it.
Well, I was taking a break from editing 700 hours of monkey video footage for this documentary about Tom Hanks' brother who was frustrated by a caricature artist at a Greek bar mitzvah who couldn't even draw on a napkin from a cell phone Facebook picture with a ton of background noise when this story about Rush Limbaugh came on CNN. And I dropped everything. And I've been mad at Rush Limbaugh for 20 years. It's been a smoldering anger. And just decided now was the time to write a new song based on an old song. I think I'll leave it at that.
All right. So you guys mute.
Oh, and one more thing. Yeah. The version you're about to hear is slightly different than the version that will be on the Fump, or that is already on the Fump as this airs. So if you can't understand something, I understand, and I have fixed it.
All righty.
So, okay.
Here it is. Well, I guess I won't say the title of the song. well, then again, I might as well, because it's by the time they hear this, it's already going to be up. So
yeah.
Here it is, Steve Goody with Shall We Slap a Slut for Speaking on the Funny Music Podcast. Here we go.
Shall we slap a slut for speaking? Because Rush is right and Rush is good. Shall we slap a slut for speaking? Because a butt munch says we should. There's a woman with the nerve to tell her insurer who she pays every month to cover all of her. And there's a syndicated nut who talks out of his butt, doesn't care what she actually said. She's obviously a slut. Oh, shall we smack a slut for thinking? 'Cause Rush is smart and Rush is wise. Shall we smack a slut for thinking? 'Cause an asshole says,
seriously, you guys.
The male Republicans way up in Washington had a hearing about women's health without woman one, with the power to decide what insurers must provide. When a skirt wanted a word, no, you're unqualified. Oh, shall we slam a skirt for speaking? 'Cause she has no penis and can't be no good. Shall we slam a skirt for speaking? 'Cause a nutbag says we should. So the Democrats convened a special hearing thing to see if she's a whore or a coherent human being. She told the Congress guys girls have special parts inside, and for healthy ladies and babies you need more than spermicide. Now shall we trash a tramp for talking? 'Cause Rush is righteous and overfed. Shall we trash a tramp for talking? 'Cause Oxycontin boy says go ahead. Rush, there's more to female contraceptives than a knee-jerk ass clown like you might imagine. A woman has to take these pills every day in order to control birth in the event she has sex. And these pills cost quite a bit more than the condom you've had in your wallet since 1979. Also, the pill is used to prevent and treat endometriosis, pelvic inflammatory disease, polycystic ovary syndrome, and anemia. Oh, it's actually medicine, Rush, used to treat diseases. Diseases like you, Rush. I wish your mom had had a little medicine back in 1950.
For breathing.
Damn, that guy is a big fat bitch. It's really a no-brainer. Even you could grasp it, Rush. Free pills mean fewer pregnancies that weren't on purpose, which will save a ton of money. We'll have fewer crack babies and fewer orphanages. But that don't matter to you, you big bag of douches.
Oh, shall we smack a slut for speaking? 'Cause Rush is God, and he's goddamn good. Shall we smack a slut for speaking? 'Cause a douchebag says we should. Oh, I'm a psychopath and I'm okay.
I don't need facts, I just spew all day.
Al Franken called me a big fat idiot, but he don't know the half of it.
I wish you could do more to help Obama get reelected, Rush.
Sweet.
Nice.
Thank you very much. And thank you for your help, Luke.
I know, it's no problem. Excuse you guys.
I was going to say, was that Cartman in there? That was great.
Yes, sir. Thank you very much.
And as soon as I heard that voice, I was thinking, God, Rush really is a grown-up Cartman, isn't he?
Yeah. Every way of- Yes, sir.
So did you edit the music at all from the original version?
No.
You just used the instrumental?
No, I was in such a hurry. I really needed something, and I wanted to get it out while the story is still happening. So naturally, let's see what I can parody that I've already parodied. And that, well, I'll parody something of my own that's not a parody yet. So that's what I did.
Well, that works.
Yeah, what the hell.
So have you written any other songs about Rush, or was this the first?
Yeah, I wrote one on my very first album, which came out in 1993, called Rush is Right. I should have looked. I should have thought you might ask me that so I could have the lyrics in front of me. But it was up is down, black is white, big is small, and Rush is right. And went after it. Back in 1993, I was mad at him already.
Hmm.
Yeah. So you should rush to stevegoody.com and buy a copy of that CD.
Ah, I see what you did there.
So 19 years from now, you'll write another song about him.
Yeah, about how 18 years ago I shot him.
Right.
I wonder if anyone's ever done a parody of a song by the band Rush about Rush Limbaugh.
That would be fun. Spirit of Radio comes to mind.
Yeah.
Mean Spirit of Radio.
Hey!
Song writes itself. If only I could play the damn drums.
Well, gee, if only there was someone in the Fump who played the drums.
Abby, get down!
I'm sorry, I missed that. What?
Our cat is climbing all over everything. It's like Sarah.
Apparently, Luke's cat plays the drums.
I just meant play drums as well as Neil Peart. It's a pretty tall order.
Yep. So yeah, Steve messaged me sometime last night, saying like, "Oh, can you do some more Daffy Duck Looney Tunes stuff?" So I got up this morning because I had to record something for Shoebox as well. And just kind of riffed on it for a bit and sent it off. So,
and I didn't use any of it. It was hilarious.
Which
it
is
really
fine.
Was.
It's okay. I mean, you know.
You should play it so everybody can hear it on this thing here. Although I don't know if you've got access to it at the moment. It was very funny. Wait a minute. Hold on just a damn second.
Okay.
Everybody, just hold on a second. Everybody, holding on.
I'm holding on.
Hold on a damn second.
Hold on. Okay. See if you can hear this.
No, it's not coming through.
Nope.
Damn. Oh, well. Never mind.
Maybe. Here's what I'll do. I'll cut and paste it at the end of the episode.
So that's a good idea, too.
Yeah.
Cool.
Wait, can you hear this?
Oh, there.
The funny stuff's really at the end. I mean, the really funny stuff.
Everybody do the Limbaugh!
Genius.
I did.
I'm going to skip to the Porky Pig at the end.
Shut the fuck up, Rush.
Yeah. Sorry, I just couldn't find a place. But I appreciate the spirit with which you did that.
Sure, no problem. So, do you have any plans? Are you doing albums about monkeys and supervillains anytime soon? Or
nah, I'm just doing the usual: write a song here, write a song there, and at the end of the year, I'll probably put a CD together.
Excellent. And I know we've joked about this before, but I seriously would like it. Either, I mean, I know I'm a physical CD nut, but it, with the amount of albums you've put out, it would probably be easier to do it as an MP3 collection. But I seriously would like to have the entire Steve Goody library, if that could be arranged somehow. So,
I'll look into that.
I know I have a couple of your albums. I have the one that has Puff the Magic Rapper on it from like the 2000s. Yeah. So
let me think about that.
Okay.
How hard can it be?
Well, maybe by the next time you're on the Fumpcast, you'll have figured something out.
Yeah, it's easier than editing 700 hours of monkey vid footage. God. Man, just hearing about that, and I bet they wanted him to do it for nothing.
Yeah, probably.
Man.
All right, here's $100. Go edit us a documentary. God. So what would happen if you performed this song at the Bluebird Cafe?
I would never be at the Bluebird Cafe anymore.
I had a feeling actually, it'd be something like that.
I could probably do it if I just took out a couple bad words, but I don't know. When I host at the Bluebird on Sundays, which I did last night, where my job is to MC and I bring up other songwriters to sing their songs, I ask each of the songwriters some questions beforehand, so I have some sort of introduction. I ask them where they're from, how long they've lived in Nashville, if in fact they do. And then I ask, there's always three questions that I ask. I ask, what's your favorite color? What's your lucky number? And then I make up a question that has something to do with what's going on. Like a couple weeks ago, it was, who do you like in the Super Bowl? Blah, blah, blah. Last night, I knew I wanted something about Rush, but I didn't want to be the one polarizing people. I wanted the songwriters to do that. So my question was, what's Rush Limbaugh's middle name? Which got me out of it. And one of them was No Clue, which what he meant was he had no idea what it was, but I thought that's a perfect middle name for Rush. That was fun. What was my point? Could I do this song at the Bluebird? I think I could because the feeling I got from the audience last night was that, agree with him or disagree with him, he went way over the line and was just incredibly ignorant about what the topic he was supposed to be talking about and incredibly insulting to an intelligent person. So if you don't look too hard at the facts, because a lot of people agree with what he's really getting at, they could still laugh at him for being such a doofus. So I might get away with it, but I don't think I'll ever memorize this song. So I doubt they'll ever perform.
Well, I'll challenge you then. The next time I see you, you have to perform it.
Oh, great. I'll get my little teleprompter app going. Maybe that can work.
Hey, if you can do Dumbledore, you can do this.
I can, but it took 2 months to learn Dumbledore. And I can't stand the thought of thinking about Rush for 2 months. My God.
So, hey, I memorized.
I'll make a deal with you, though. I'll make a deal. If Rush loses his radio show in the next month, I will memorize this fucking song.
Okay. I memorized the third verse of Cellular Degeneration with all of the you know, self-censored parts of it on the drive down to Dragon Con right before I premiered it. So,
rehearsing in the car. How wonderful.
I want to party with you, cowboy.
Hey, I may be rehearsing on the plane to MarsCon if things keep going the way they're going around here.
Sounds that way. Man, at least bring pictures of your beautifully repainted bedroom to show everybody why you can't perform anything correctly.
Yeah. I'll just set up my rig and like, this is my bedroom. Isn't that nice? Nice shade of brown.
It was so worth it.
We've just invented a new show for HGTV.
Distractions of Nerds.
Right.
That'd be great.
Well, they have that show like Man Caves. How about Nerd Caves or something like that?
Bat Caves.
Like?
So, do you think maybe Rush Limbaugh and Newt Gingrich are the same person?
I think one of them ate the other one. So, in a sense, yes.
It's just weird because in the mid-90s, they were so huge, and then they went away for a while, and now they're both back again.
Huger than ever.
Yes.
No, I think I actually do think you don't see Cartman and Limbaugh in the same place. I really do think there's a time machine involved somehow.
And well, yeah, when he went, when he, you know, because the timeline got all screwed up when he was trying to get the Wii.
Yeah.
So at some point, he went back in time and grew up, and now he's Rush Limbaugh.
Yeah, something. Mm-hmm. You know, I wouldn't mind Rush having whatever opinions he has. It just what drives me insane is that he infects so many millions of people on such a regular basis. With just, he takes a news story, picks a piece of it that may or may not be true, and then makes up his own story about it, and everybody believes it. Nobody looks any deeper. And it makes me mad.
So, like, when I see clips of him, like, on The Daily Show, and they're showing the footage of him doing his radio show, is that just footage streamed from his website, or is that actually, like, a TV program on cable?
I don't know.
I never understood that, because...
Well, not having cable, and certainly not watching his show, if it were on cable, I don't know. Well, yeah, I haven't been thinking about him, except he popped up on CNN.com last week because of his big mouth. Yeah. So, you know...
I just think it's weird, the notion of watching a radio show on television in that manner is just strange, but I don't know.
Well, I think Howard Stern started that, didn't he? Oh,
yeah, I think so. There's a bunch of them that do that. I know all the shows on the Twit network, like This Week in Tech and This Week in Google and all of those. Those are all, most of them are video now. You can watch them online, and there's actually a Roku channel you can watch all of them on the Roku if you have one, which I do.
Mm-hmm. And there's lots of podcasts that are, you know, daily. They're like, you know, radio/TV shows that people subscribe to, and they're often video as well as audio, and it's just people sitting in front of microphones.
Yeah, The Awful Show was had video for a while.
Mm-hmm.
They were using some website. It might have been Ustream to, and then they had, you know, a bunch of the listeners would join in with their video just from their webcams and stuff. It was neat.
It is neat. Stick it to the man. This is a radio show on television. Fuck you.
Really?
That's what I always say.
Now you can do it all with a Google Hangout.
It's a TV show on the radio that's neither on TV nor radio.
Right.
That's what's really awesome. And by the way, my if Rush immediately gets a podcast a month after being fired, I still don't have to memorize the song. He has to just disappear for at least a year.
Here's a topic. Dementia radio is neither dementia nor a radio. Discuss.
Discuss.
Did you see my post on Facebook? I think it was yesterday.
That's been happening with me for years, like going all the way back to MySpace. Because I use the phrase dementia in talking about comedy music, I'd always get these pop-up ads coming up, you know, Alzheimer's and dementia? Use this pill, you know? It's like...
Yeah, the one that I got was for a medic alert bracelet or something like that, specifically for people with dementia.
And I think Dr. Demento's missing a bet by not cashing in on this.
Plus, the other thing is that Sarah's nickname online handle was Dementia. So when I was dating her, one time it popped up and it said, it was just a question, how do you care for dementia? So I'm like, that's a very good question for me to consider. And so I married her, and then we get our taxes done.
And now it says guilt, guilt, guilt. At least you have the decency to feel guilty.
Yes,
I think you get points for that.
That's Catholicism.
Hey, you learned it from my people.
But I was raised Catholicism. I came pre-installed with guilt 3.0.
I have three upgrades every 6 months.
I 200 minutes of free prayer time.
Right.
Now how much will you pray?
And what is Sarah's original denomination?
Also originally Catholic.
Okay. All right.
She went to a Catholic school, so I like to picture her in those outfits.
I did too, and those outfits were a large reason why.
You like to picture Sarah in a Catholic schoolgirl outfit?
That's what I thought he was saying.
That's a separate topic, but...
That's why he had to paint the bedroom. Penance. Thinking about Luke's wife in an outfit. Bullshit, man.
It's Food Network After Dark.
Yeah. That's what I'm talking about.
Bubble up. Oh, I can't wait for the new Cirque du Soleil album to come out. Anyway, completely off topic. So why don't we move on to the next thing, whatever it may be.
The thing.
I think it would be this.
Making the internet absolutely ridiculous. DementiaRadio.org.
This is the part where there's feedback.
Feedback.
Feedback. You know that segment of the show we do about now?
Feedback. Feedback.
Feedback. Do we even have any feedback?
No, not yet. It'll probably all come in tomorrow or the next day.
All right. Whoa, what the hell was that?
You asked for feedback.
Oh, ha! Thank you.
Sure.
That's probably the first time anyone's actually done that on this show.
Sweet.
So This isn't feedback for this show, so to speak, but I could say once again, like I did last week, if those of you who feel like congratulating Carrie, you can call the Bad Rapport hotline, which is 916-LUKESKI. 916-585-3754, I think, are the numbers, but it's 916-LUKESKI. You can call up and leave a voicemail message congratulating her and Josh on the birth of Alex, and we'll play them on a forthcoming episode of Luke and Carrie's Bad Rapport. So there's feedback of a nature. So yeah, can we tease anything?
Not yet, no.
Okay. But, you know, people will, yeah, whatever.
It's only Monday, dude.
So, yeah.
I was going to say, we know what tomorrow's song is because we just played it, but that's not tomorrow's song. That's yet 2 days ago's song.
So
God,
confusing.
We need a TARDIS to keep track of all this shit.
God,
we do.
Damn it.
Let's get the TARDIS. Let's get the TARDIS in here. We know how much you love the Black Eyed Peas.
Yes.
So, Steve.
But I still got to do all those drawings.
Yes.
When am I going to do that?
Steve, plug things and stuff.
www.stevegoody.com. Also, if you're in the Nashville area on any Sunday, come to the Bluebird Cafe. If you don't know where it is, it's bluebirdcafe.com for all sorts of information. I think that's about it until Deep South Con, but that's in June.
Yep. And Ukla the Mock, their only real online presence at the moment is their Facebook page, which I believe is facebook.com/officialukla, I think, is the URL. But just do a Facebook search for Ukla the Mock. I'm sure you will find them. They have many pictures of themselves up there. Yeah. Anything else, Devo?
No, I got a video to edit tonight.
All right.
So I may not be getting any sleep.
I got other things to do that don't involve babies and taxes. So
I got paint to watch dry.
My paint's already dry.
Lucky. So, where is it? There it is. I'm LUKESKI.
I'm Devo Spice.
And he's Steve Goody.
I'm sleepy.
And Adam is racist.
Yeah.
Thank you for listening to the Funny Music Podcast. You can listen live every Thursday night at 10 p.m. Eastern, 7 Pacific, at DementiaRadio.org, and join us in the chat, or subscribe to the podcast feed. Look us up on iTunes, and be sure to leave us a review. Feedback for the show can be sent to info@thefump.com. The Funny Music Podcast is a production of Fidem Interactive, LLC, released under a Creative Commons share-alike license. Tell your friends! Tell your enemies. Shout it to random people on the street. And be sure to visit thefump.com for the latest funny songs. Tune in next week where you'll hear LUKESKI say...
Oh, and also there is Sarah. I love you.
So does Tom.
All right.
Well, that was when she didn't chime in with her shut up or whatever her catchphrase is.
Her catchphrase is, I'm going to stab you in the face and set you on fire.
Yes.
Good one.
So we'll put that on t-shirts and we'll sell it at MarsCon, and we'll sell two. Because that's what you sell at MarsCon.
We'll just Photoshop up a picture of Luke beaten and battered and put it on a t-shirt and people will buy it. I can kind of guarantee that.
Yeah, it probably would, yeah.
Yeah.
I think Earl's Wingard's beaten up Captain Kirk is my favorite costume ever.
That's a really good one.
I've never seen.
Yeah. Oh, it's great. He's got black eyes and a bloody lip, and his shirt's all torn and stuff.
It's battle damaged Kirk from halfway through a fight with a Gorn on a Star Trek episode or something. So yeah,
unlike every Star Trek episode ever.
Wow.
All right, so I will stop doing the show now and stuff. So,
Bye.
Thank you very much, guys.
Thanks, Dave.
Thank you very much.
All right, talk to you later.
Bye. Okay. Bye.